At this time of year, we chat with some of the UK's and indeed the world's leading sight loss charities as we look back at 2023 and ahead to 2024. We are going to chat with David Clark, who's the Chief Executive of the British Paralympic Association. Now, I think many people will know you from your time here at RNIB before you moved to the BPA, because you've not been there too long.
That's right, yeah. This time last year, I was participating in the annual RNIB quiz with great questions that I wasn't capable of answering. But March of this year, I moved on to the British Paralympic Association, Paralympics GB. I absolutely adored my time, as you well know, Alan, at RNIB, and yeah, loving what I'm doing now.
You've been there a little while, as you say, David, but I'm sure even within that short space of time, there's going to be a few highlights for you for the association.
Firstly, the 75th anniversary of Dr. Ludwig Gutmann with the first sort of Paralympic tournament between Great Britain and the Netherlands in 1948. And to reflect on the 75 years and what's happened over those 75 years and where we've got to, we've obviously big moments along the way where the games started to come together with the Olympic Games in the same city. You know, all too often in the early days, they were separate, with Moscow and LA not really putting on a Paralympic Games. But from Seoul onwards, we've shared the city. And of course, London 2012, you know, in everyone's minds, you know, we may all still, as disabled people, have a number of struggles and barriers to fight and knock down away from it. But there's no doubt that London 2012 really set a benchmark around how Paralympic sport should be presented. And I think we've gone really now to a point where the public are consuming Paralympic sport. And I'm certainly hoping when I'm talking to you next year, my highlight will be the best Paralympic Games ever.
But I suppose it is tricky. You know, there are so many big events that the BPA is involved in throughout the year. I suppose the Paralympics is probably the biggie as well. But there's a lot of big things going on, and especially even in the short time you've been there this year.
We're the National Paralympic Committee for Great Britain and Northern Ireland. And so our specific role is to select, enter and fund the team to the Games. But of course, you know, through our Sport Connect strategy, we have a huge amount of interest in what's going on between the peaks, as it were, of the Winter and Summer Paralympics. And we have a huge amount of engagement with all of the sports and the national governing bodies who run those sports. Also, the disability-specific national sports organisations, such as British Blind Sport and Activity Alliance, Disability Sport Wales, Scotland and Northern Ireland. And then, of course, there were various championships during the year. So we had the IBSA World Games in Birmingham, where I might have seen you, Alan, and we might have nearly kicked the football together. Although you tried to get out of it. And the IBSA World Games was athletes from 70 nations, you know, around 1,100 athletes, which was an incredible event from a sort of visually impaired point of view. But then I've also had the wheelchair rugby European Championships in Cardiff, which I was kindly invited to. We had the swimming World Championships in Manchester. We had the Paralympic cycling as part of the overall programme at Glasgow. And just recently, it was my real pleasure to go and see Paralympic Taekwondo taking place up in Manchester. So if you couple that, you know, in the UK with what's going on around the rest of the world, and we were lucky enough to see the first ever European Paralympic Games in Rotterdam in August, there's an amazing amount going on. And it's just brilliant to be part of it and see the performances of our athletes who on the field of play are going for gold and showing incredible determination, resilience and aspiration to get to where they want to get. But they also speak so brilliantly off the field of play. And I was fortunate enough to be at an event with Sarah Story, Dame Sarah Story, of course, as I should say, you know, who just spoke so wonderfully about her experiences and how she managed to create the success she has in the swimming pool and on the bike. But then what she's doing with that off the field of play, it's remarkable.
We talk obviously here, David, about elite athletes, but you know, there's also a drive to get more people into sport and into activities anyway. And you know, there are huge benefits for people with any kind of disability or learning disability, whatever, when it comes to things like that. There's a lot more than just physical fitness here. So I suppose there's a lot of collaboration in that respect, as well as looking for the athletes of the future, of course.
Yeah, so we have a program called Everybody Moves, where we basically enable people to link up with a local opportunity in their area. So if you go to everybodymoves.org.uk, put in the nature of your disability, you can put in your postcode, and it will bring up all of the accessible opportunities in your area. And of course, we do that very much in conjunction with, as I say, British Blind Sport, with the wider disability sports networks. And we've also been working with RNIB recently on Talent Days, which is not just about that grassroots participation, but it's for those who wanting to take that next step and wanting to find a sport that is that's great for them. I think it's a really sad point that 75% of disabled kids still don't do sport in school, and that's a horrific statistic. And if it was replicated across the rest of society, we would have huge issues in health and social isolation and beyond anything we experience today. So, anything we can do to help teachers and schools and local clubs get both kids and adults moving has a huge impact. I know from the work we did together, and I spoke to you about around C Sport differently, in the blind and partially sighted population, it was twice as inactive as the wider population. And of course, there's all sorts of reasons for that, but we are definitely about seeking to break down those barriers and encouraging people to very much get involved and feel comfortable and feel part of something.
I suppose you did that yourself, didn't you, David? You came through sort of playing football for fun. You sort of trained with teams as well. Even after losing your sight, you became an international player. Was it 5 golden boots and scoring goals almost for fun as well? So you really know what you're talking about when you're not just as the chief executive of BPA, but as someone who has got a great deal from sport over the years.
I'm tempted to call it left out of football, because my passion from being a kid was always that I absolutely adored the game of football. I love watching the game. I love being in the stadium. I love listening to it on the radio, watching it on the television, and playing it was always the missing link. And of course, I played through school and in various forms. But I didn't get to play as an international footballer until I was 25 years old. I didn't get properly coached in the sport until I was 25 years old. And of course, so I've experienced the terrific highs that you mentioned, and it's a real privilege to have done that. But I've also experienced the lows of feeling left out, people not being interested in even trying to support me in one way or another to sort of be part of all this. So I think it can be very hard. And I think probably one of the hardest things for your listeners to do is that you don't know what you don't know. If you're not aware of an opportunity, and actually you're not even aware you might find the opportunity interesting or fun or something exciting to do, then you're not going to look for it. So what we have to do is really advocate, along with colleagues from the disability sector, from the sports sector, from wider government, education, health, is to reach out and try and encourage people to seek out these opportunities and make people feel at home and make that first experience a really positive one. Because that's where it's really important. If people feel engaged and they feel involved and they feel part of something, then it can have a huge impact on their life, and it certainly did on mine.
Looking ahead to 2024, David, crystal football time, I suppose. What would you say are the highlights for BPA going to be?
Well, we've been working very, very hard, as you might imagine, in all of our recces and all of our planning and all of our chef de mission work to making sure that our athletes get the best opportunity to perform and arrive in Paris best prepared. We're super excited about the base we've got out in Paris, in the city of Clichy, which is one of the northern suburbs of Paris. We've got a great relationship with the EM Normandy Business School there, with a really accessible building that we're planning to use for our friends and family, our media, all of our sort of internal activities that we do when we're running the games, and also some major stakeholder programs around our international relations, our commercial activity, and of course our social impact work. And we're really pleased with where we are in the village. We've been doing a lot of planning around how we're going to utilize that resource, make sure we have the correct performance tools, a performance center. And it might surprise people to know that we as an organization there are about 40 people, but we actually increased to an organization of 170 people at games time, because there is so much to do to make sure that our athletes have the best possibility of performing. And it might also surprise people to know that in large parts, what would have got you a gold medal in London in 2012 wouldn't even get you on the podium in 2024. So the sports have all moved on. It's become much more competitive. And the elite end of Paralympic sport is going from strength to strength, and more countries and continents are getting involved. And it's becoming, ever more difficult to maintain the levels of success that we've had. But yeah, I can guarantee you, Alan, that we're planning that our athletes have their best ever games in terms of performance. And also off the field of play, we're 12 years on from London by then. We need to make sure that everyone's now talking about Paris. Everyone's talking about the amazing experience they had in Paris and how they're going to look to build on that experience to go to Milan and LA thereafter.
Indeed, looking forward to the games next year. If there was a highlight of 2023, then, David, what would you say that was?
For me, it was the opening ceremony of the European Paralympic Games. It was in Rotterdam. It was partly in English, partly in Dutch. I'm very fortunate that I understand Dutch because my wife's Dutch and I learned it quite early on. And it was a Paralympic athlete. You might, I'm far too old for this, Alan, but you might call it hip hop, you might call it rap, you might call it whatever you do. But I just remember him sort of pointing at himself and just saying, this is who I am. This is me. And, I think for me, as a disabled person, as a former athlete, as someone leading this organization, I think it was just one of those moments in time where it really actually did bring me physically to tears, because I've spent quite a lot of my life, and I know a lot of the athletes and a lot of people working in this industry have spent all their life trying to make this mean something, trying to get people to understand that Paralympic sport is the same as Olympic sport in terms of its intensity. Trying to get people to understand that a disabled person's life is the same as anyone else's life in terms of opportunity and needs to be that way. And we all know that it isn't. But just to see in this raw footage, this guy just saying it, this is who I am. I just think it was incredibly powerful, incredibly emotional. And for me, that was absolutely my top moment.
David, everyone here at RNIB and RNIB Connect Radio would like to wish all the staff, the volunteers, and the athletes and beyond at the British Paralympic Association a very Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year, and best of luck for 2024. Thanks for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you. And may I also do the same for all your listeners, wherever you are, for all the staff at RNIB and RNIB Connect Radio. I have a lot of love for what you do, for the organization, for the people. And I genuinely miss working with you, but I'm so glad that we can carry on partnering in the way we do.